Chapter 36. When Trevor arrived at the dock around 7 the next morning, Dirk and Summer were already laying out their sonar equipment on the stern deck. He gave Summer a quick peck while Dirk was occupied coiling a tow cable, then he pulled a small cooler onto the boat. "Hope everyone can stomach some fresh smoked salmon for lunch," he said. "I'd say that's a vast improvement over Dirk's stockpile of peanut butter and dill pickles," Summer replied. "Never have to worry about it going bad," Dirk defended. He walked into the wheelhouse and started the boat's motor, then returned to the stern deck. "I'll need to refuel before we head out," he announced. "There's a fuel dock just around the bend," Trevor replied. "It's a little cheaper than the gas at the city marina." He thought for a moment. "I'm a little low myself. Why don't you follow me over and we can drop my boat on the way out the channel?" Dirk nodded in agreement, and Trevor hopped onto the deck and strolled down to his boat moored just behind the Numa vessel. He unlocked the door to the wheelhouse, then fired up the inboard diesel, listening to its deep, throaty idle. Checking his fuel gauge, he noted a pair of sunglasses on the dashboard that Summer had left behind. Looking up, he saw her untying the dock lines to the Numa boat. Grabbing the glasses, he hopped off the boat and jogged down the dock. "Some protection for those pretty gray eyes?" he asked. Summer tossed the bowline aboard, then looked up to see Trevor standing with her sunglasses in an outstretched hand. She gazed skyward for a moment, taking in a thick layer of rain clouds overhead, before locking eyes with him. "A tad overkill for today, but thanks for proving you're not a thief." She reached over and grabbed the sunglasses as a sharp crack suddenly erupted behind them. The report was followed by a thunderous blast that flung them to the dock, a shower of splinters tearing over their heads. Trevor fell forward and onto Summer, protecting her from the debris as several small chunks of wood and fiberglass struck him in the back. A simple 5-minute timed safety fuse, attached to 4 cartridges of nitroglycerin dynamite and wired to the ignition switch of Trevor's boat, had ignited the inferno. The blast nearly ripped the entire stern section off the government boat while flattening most of the wheelhouse. The stern quickly sank from sight while the mangled bow clung stubbornly to the surface, dangling at a grotesque angle by the attached dock line. Dirk was standing in the cabin of his own vessel when the blast struck and was unscathed by any flying debris. He immediately scrambled onto the dock and found Summer being helped to her feet by Trevor. Like Dirk, she was unhurt by the blast. Trevor was less fortunate. His back was soaked with blood from a large splinter embedded in his shoulder, and he limped from a timber that had slammed into his leg. He ignored the injuries and hobbled over to the smoldering remains of his boat. Summer and Dirk checked each other to ensure they were uninjured. Then Dirk jumped back aboard and grabbed a fire extinguisher, dousing several smoldering piles of debris that threatened to start a larger fire. Summer found a towel and hurried over to Trevor, who was compressing the cut on his shoulder as he stared blankly at the destroyed ruins of his boat. As a police siren wailed its imminent approach, Trevor turned and gazed at Summer with a look of hurt and anger. "It has to be Terra Green," he muttered quietly. "I wonder if they killed my brother, too." At a harborside coffee shop 2 miles away, Clay's axe stared out the window, admiring the plume of smoke and flame that rose above the water in the distance. Finishing an espresso in Danish, he left a large tip on the table, then walked to his brown rented Jeep parked up the street. "Smoke on the water," he muttered aloud, humming the deep purple rock tune before climbing into the car. Without the least concern, he drove to the airport outside of town, where Mitchell Goyette's private jet waited for him on the tarmac.